This is Bimmercast number 74, and we sat down with BMW NAM product manager Jose Guerrero recently to talk all things M2. It's the car that we're all waiting for, waiting to drive, waiting to actually see and touch. And we got an early look at the Detroit Auto Show, but we also got an early peek into what went into the car and really what it's like to drive. So hope you enjoy this early look at the car. We are going to pick it up in mid-conversation.
That 2 Series platform, when we started thinking about doing an M2, mm-hmm. we already had the M235.
And when did you start that process? Because I think the 1M is kind of lower now, and that mm-hmm. was always like the, you know, mm-hmm. mythically, it was like the afterthought
damn
car.
Yeah.
No, it's, I mean, we saw the success, of course, of the 1M, mm-hmm. and when we look at the 2 Series platform, you know, we talked about the potential for the mm-hmm. M2. So even at those early stages, we already started, you know, thinking mm-hmm. seriously about the M2, and you know, to see the finished product now mm-hmm. and to drive it, because the specs are one thing, right? And but to see the overall product, to drive it hard,
yeah,
and compare it to, you know, the previous models, whether it's 1M or I compare it to my own personal track car, MV46 M3.
Oh, nice. I have a 1M, so be careful.
Nice.
No, it's, I mean, clearly the march of progress never stops, right?
Yeah, and you always, you, even the MT35, you're like, this is really good. How can it be that much better? Mm-hmm. And then you get behind the wheel and you're like, okay, that's that much better.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of people out there right now that are weighing the two mm-hmm. cars, or that have the M235 that yeah. are, you know, looking at this and thinking, like, do I make the plunge? And I guess one of the questions that a lot of folks have is the 1M was famously, like, you know, very limited.
Mm-hmm.
If you weren't on the list right from the get-go, you never had a chance.
Yep.
How is this going to be different?
It's a little bit, still limited production, but it's not, you know, I would say as limited. So it's more of a normal model now.
Okay.
So it's not, you know, under 1,000 by any means. Mm-hmm. I can't comment officially on the exact numbers, because as BMW, we just don't.
Mm-hmm.
But from a normal production standpoint, it's not going to be like produce it and then end it. It's,
okay.
it's no longer that scenario. I think we learned a lot with the 1M, and we learned a lot with the M235.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing for sure that we saw is, not only is the 2 Series platform what we call an enthusiast platform, a lot of car enthusiasts buy it, but just because it's so good, you have the space to create even a more dynamic, even more agile, even the MDNA, the
right,
true
right.
MDNA into that. We have room. So, because we see it. We see it in the marketplace. People take the M235
right.
to the track.
Right.
And to be able to provide a car that we know, hey, we can do a car that can do Laguna Seca 20 laps.
Right.
We have that car.
Yeah.
We can do that, right? So, like right off the bat, I mean, racetrack cooling, racetrack capability mm-hmm. with the M2.
Yeah.
I mean, the different oil pickup lines is there, different oil baffle is there. You know, the overboost function is there.
Right, right.
All these things that, you know, the bigger brakes is
yeah.
there. 380 millimeters up front, 370 millimeters.
Those are more or less the same brakes on the M3 and M4?
Exactly.
Okay, obviously the steel versions, but yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, it's perfect for that car. Because we didn't want the car to be, because we knew it was an enthusiast model, we didn't want it to be unattainable from
mm-hmm.
a price.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And today you announced the price, $51,700.
Yeah.
Obviously without destination, but that's a pretty aggressive price. I was guessing about $52,000, $53,000.
Mm-hmm.
So impressive. And I think my question to you, and my guess is that the 1M value
mm-hmm.
and the M235 current pricing mm-hmm. value clearly gave you that sweet spot to.
Exactly. And the sweet spot in the room. Because people kept asking us about what if you had a, you know, an M2.
Mm-hmm.
What if, you know, could you see an M2?
Mm-hmm.
Could you bring it at the sweet spot. And we can. We could. And we did. So now, we don't expect... I mean, the M235 has been extremely successful. We have the M2 now. And this is really one of the areas... other than this and the X4 M40i, you know, you don't see, let's say, an M performance automobile, a performance model, and an M car typically the same.
Yeah.
But especially in a 2 Series, because it is an enthusiast platform, we can get away with it, but it's a match.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Not everyone can go up to an M2, but still can enjoy an M235.
Yeah, absolutely. So a couple questions off the bat, and I'm kind of curious to go back a little bit in the conversation and ask you about the genesis of this project. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the 1M came out at the very end of the 1 Series life cycle.
Yeah.
At what point did you guys say, look, we've got kind of like, you know, magic in the bottle here with this formula, let's just do it again?
Mm. Well, it's not just about let's do it again. When we started thinking about the 2 Series platform, then we said, what could we do with this 2 Series platform? You know, could we do a 228? Could we do a convertible? Could we do an M235? And then we asked ourselves, could we do an M2? And we looked back then at the 1M and said, obviously, it was a success. And if we can deliver something that differentiates itself further from the M235 and deliver on that M promise.
Because the M235 is a great vehicle.
It is really good. Yeah, we, you know, one of the untold successes of the M235 is it's actually exceeding what we call our mix estimates from the base, the 228 and the M230. It's exceeding that. It's doing great. Let's say we estimated X, it's over X. And
that's great to hear.
And that's when you see that type of success, it makes the decision to go M2 a lot easier because you see people are really responsive to the platform.
Yeah, and that market is still there. There's a lot of conversation out there about autonomous vehicles and electric vehicles, which is of course incredibly important. But it's nice to see BMW, you know, firmly in its sort of sweet spot from a historical perspective, creating cars that are still compelling to enthusiasts.
Yes, and I know there's a certain balance between technology and driving assistance and like cost. I know there's this balance, but this is why when we were doing the specification for the M2, you can really see it. It's actually one of the simplest cars to order. There's three ways you can order it, right? You can get it manual or with a DCT. You can get it with the technology package or not. And then you can get it with, what's the other one?
Cold weather, maybe?
No, the paint colors. You can get it.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Four paint colors, right?
It's pretty simple. I did a slide somewhere tonight.
The precursor to what I'll see in the launch in a few weeks.
So, not technology. You have an executive package. You have your colors.
Okay.
And you have the transmission. That's all you pick.
Wow. So it's not really far off from the 1M as far as options.
No. It's very well loaded. You know, it's well equipped. And but still, keeping in mind, like, give you an example. You can't get a sunroof in this.
Right.
In this market.
So this is a car that is basically limited in a lot of ways from an ordering perspective, similar to the 1M. It's got that same formula of the M3, M4 underpinnings in a lot of respects, but it has one thing that 1M didn't have famously, and that's a DCT, automatic, more or less automatic. What do you, obviously that was probably something you planned from the start?
Oh yeah. I mean, you see it more and more, whether people are going for, you know, thrill of driving, six speed, or track times, DCT. So you have two types of people, and I think now we're at a point of DCT technology where it's no longer this discussion about, oh, the DCT is clunky and it's just slower. Now people see it as a benefit. I can drop my lap times, and that's still a big part of our like our track-oriented buyers do respect that, and you can see it with the take rates. But it's not this big, like, you know, we're only doing 5% manuals and 95% DCT. No, especially in the, I would say, the small premium and then the mid-size, like, small premium. So if you take the 2 Series, 3 Series, 4 Series platform, the take rates for manual transmissions are still there.
Yeah.
Because people are still, I want to shift myself, right. I want to feel connected, I want that, and I'm not necessarily going for track.
Right.
I'm not caring about, you know, 0.2 seconds quicker 0-60.
Yeah.
Right. Driver and pump.
Exactly.
And so then when you get to the bigger cars, the M5, we'll say the M5 and M6, I assume take rates have plummeted.
Exactly.
Pretty quickly.
Yeah.
To the point that obviously the only manual transmission available is in the United States. Mm-hmm. And it would certainly seem, given indications, that may be going away at some point as well.
Yeah, I mean, we're really, you know, it's not that we consciously say, hey, let's try to take away the manual. That's not the case at all. We really let consumer demand tell us. And if consumer demand is telling us that we have, you know, less than 1%, 2% take rate for a manual, then at that point it's like, okay, are you just doing it just to do it? Is it now just a marketing message?
Right.
Or are you delivering what customers are asking for? Because think about it, if you had the opportunity to take development money and reallocate it, let's say, from manual transmission, which is a 1-2% take rate, let's say, for instance, in a certain model, and take that development money and make the DCT version even more connected, even shift harder, you can actually, then I think from not, it's not only a business decision, but it's actually a core value decision, that you're able to make it even more better.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I'm still driving a manual, and a lot of our customers, again, in the 2 Series, 3 Series, and 4 Series are driving a manual. So we're happy about that, because it is a different experience than a DCT. So as long as people keep buying them, we'll keep producing it.
So thinking about underneath the M2, I mean, literally underneath, one of the things that 1M was famous for was literally taking that sort of subframe from the M3 and brakes and everything and really being an M3 underneath.
Yeah.
Is that the case with the M2?
Oh, yeah. So it's same type of ingredients from taken from the M4. The shoe horning, everything in there.
Yeah.
You know, differential suspension components. It's, you know, we took that over as well. Not because, you know, it's a nice marketing message, but because we knew that it would transform it. And we had to differentiate it from the M235.
Right.
So how can you differentiate the M2 from the M235? And one of the things is that suspension geometry.
Yeah.
So, I mean, compared to...
You're smiling, so I assume that you've driven it, obviously, so
you really
kind of know.
It's really good.
It really is.
The cornering limits of it, you know, even in my E46 M3 compared to it, it doesn't even compare.
Really?
It's really good. If you feel planted.
Yeah.
And the feeling is something that you would expect after, you know, doing a full coilover suspension. Like, you know that
really?
Planted feeling?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But it's factory.
Yeah.
And so, you have compliance, and your stance is very wide.
Yeah.
I think 1.7 inches wider up front and 2.2 inches wider in the rear than the M235. And you see it when you're, like, you know, looking at the car, you're like, wow, right? And when you drive it, you feel it.
So then, that's it. Tell me, I'm just kind of curious, because you've experienced this car for a while, and you were along during the gestation of it. What is one of the things that we don't know about it yet that you can tell us that you know, is sort of like a personal victory for you, or something you're real proud of?
I'm really proud of, it might not be a secret for much longer, but for the price, the feeling, which you can't experience until you drive it, I think that will really flip people's heads to say, I can't believe this is 51,000. And, you know, 0-60s and, you know, in the low fours for a stop for this type of car, and I know what people enthusiasts are going to do. So quickly, this is going to be in the mid threes. Mm-hmm. The car is just capable. The chassis is amazing. Mm-hmm. And the cornering of it, mm-hmm. it's really good. And it's so quick and nimble. The boost is something different. That's maybe another thing that you can't tell until you drive it because of the over boost function on the torque side. It doesn't feel like a lag or anything like that, but you don't expect the boost to build even further as you're laying into it. Mm-hmm. It does that. So it's not, when driving the M3 M4, it's maximum power, maximum.
Right, right.
And it's very expected. And the M2, you think you're going to hit the limit and it just keeps building even further. So that, I think you don't get that sensation until you drive it.
That's interesting. So this engine is more or less the same engine that I'm pivoting here into the X4. It's more or less the same engine that we found in the M4. I'm sorry, the X4. Sorry.
Okay.
The X4 M40i.
So X4.
My letters and numbers are getting mixed up. It's a long day.
It's similar, but like some certain things like the racetrack cooling, the oil circuits and so forth, it's not there
okay.
in the X4 version, M40 version. And also the overboost function, it doesn't exist in the X4 mm-hmm. M40. It's only in the M2.
So and that car has the standard ZF 8-speed automatic.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course,
the sports.
So everything's been tuned, right? So sport settings, sport tuning, both in the transmission and engine settings. Mm-hmm. The shifters. Mm-hmm. M2, you also have, you have MDM mode. Mm-hmm. So you have in sport plus a DAC deactivation gives you MDM. Mm-hmm. But overall, I mean, and you can see it, right? The purpose of the car. Mm-hmm, purpose right. of M2, hit the track.
Versus the X4.
X4, yeah. You're not hitting the track. Maybe you're hitting the street pretty hard.
Yeah, yeah. So. Yeah, absolutely. So I guess the last question, kind of back on the M2. How would you spec your M2? I know I'm sure you've thought about it over the last 6 months or so.
I would spec it, for me, I would spec it with the executive package, Alpine white, with a manual transmission. And then I would go to my friends over in the accessories department and I would tell them, load me up. And not just because I'm trying to make their business good, but
yeah.
I know some of the things that they've been working on. And I really, as a personal car,
really?
That's what I would buy.
So, what? Anything you can tell us about from an accessories?
I think recently we announced that they're going to do a coilover system.
Mm, yeah, that's right.
So that's first of my.
Yeah.
You know that would be my first modification.
Adjustable, obviously, yeah. So you can really kind of tune it.
And that's the thing because, not that I'm. I think there are cars that I feel you need to modify in order to be track capable. Mm-hmm. And there are cars like the M2 and the M4 that you can just take it to the track and you actually have to challenge yourself before you start modifying the car. And both cars, the M2 and the M4, really teach me how, not how bad of a driver I am, but how much more potential the car has mm-hmm. before I should even
yeah.
modify it.
The limits are so high. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's really humbling.
Yeah. Well, Jose, really appreciate the time.
No, thank you for
Thank you very much. Can't wait to go drive in a few weeks.
You should, and I'll probably see you there.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
A lot of fun.
Cool. Thank you very much.